And now, it's time for Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. For the next 2 hours, join Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Maxa, Corey Sandin, and this week's special expert guest for fishing information, new techniques to catch more fish, and the most current scoop on what's happening in the water. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, and Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on radio with the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Maxa, and Corey Sandin.
Good morning, anglers, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. Man, do we have a great show for you today. It's the team from the Shearwater, and what's that? Well, we've certainly had fun talking with Marcus before about Shearwater, but an awesome charter fishing boat that was kind of set up by some of the fishiest guys in the industry, and we're going to have a whole lot of fun talking today with it. We've got Marcus Medak. We've also got Danny Fuller, an amazing fish knowledge tuna scientist that's going to be joining us today, and they're the team that put this rad charter boat together. We got a lot to talk about. There's some great fishing that happened last night. It's going to be a real fun one. You stay tuned. You're listening to Southern California Sport Fishing Voice. This is Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
You've heard all about it. You know the anglers catching fish have it, so what's holding you back? It's a fact. FishDope.com really does help you catch more fish and burn less fuel. FishDope.com is the only fish finding service with a spotter plane along with a crew of top anglers on the water almost every day that report actual locations and catches. You can get daily catch reports from Point Conception to San Martin Island 365 days a year. FishDope.com is for everyone, whether you have your own boat, fish on your friend's boat, or a sport boat. FishDope.com has online planning tools, moon phase, tides, hot bite icons, and more. So bottom line is, if you don't have FishDope.com, well, you're probably missing a lot of bite. Membership costs less than $50 of gas, and that's for the entire year. That's right, 1 year. What a bargain. Plus, use a special code to save $20 on a new FishDope.com membership. Check it out today. FishDope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel.
It's time for the PowerPro 30-Second Seminar. I like catching big fish, and I like smaller reels, too. How do I make sure that I have the capacity to land the big one? I fill my reels with PowerPro Max Quattro. It's 25% thinner than standard PowerPro, so you get more line on that small reel. PowerPro has a complete series of highly effective lines, including the brand-new PowerPro Depth Hunter Offshore, with different colors every 100 feet, perfect for flatfall fishing. Want to learn more? Check PowerPro.com.
In San Diego, the future belongs to everyone. So Ford engineered the truck of the future for everyone. The Ford F-150. Available with a Pro Power onboard generator. What a great addition for anglers. There's also a variety of cab configurations for whatever you need to haul. The truck of the future isn't created for just a few. It's created for us who love the ocean and the outdoor life. Ford F-150. Test drive one at your local San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. We're going to have a great show today.
Yeah, man, totally. Today's going to be fun. Again, Pete, as we mentioned yesterday, Pete and Corey out of the studio. They're up at Queen Charlotte Safaris in British Columbia. Man, Pete has had a couple of fun trips this year and has struggled with weather, as happens when you start to get, you know, pretty northern latitudes. And the karma points paid off for this one. Those guys are just, they're having an epic trip. Today is day two. Today's the start of day three. And, I mean, like, it's San Diego weather. It's 75 degrees and bluebird skies and epic salmon fishing. And, you know, we talked to him for a bit yesterday. Really good lane cod fishing. Hopefully we'll get another little report today. But if not, we'll look forward to the wrap-up tomorrow. But, man, they're having a really, really good trip up at that Queen Charlotte Safaris. And they've been doing a good job on the social media, showing pictures of, you know, fish and the food and the whole nine. And it looks like they're having a good one. But with Pete and Corey both gone, stoked to have Brandon co-hosting with us again this morning. And, man, you're right. Today's going to be a very good one, having both Danny and Marcus from Shearwater in here. And, yeah, stoked you guys to come and join us. Morning, boys.
Morning.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, totally. So, you know, we've obviously had you on the show before a couple of times, both Gerby and Marcus. But, Danny, we haven't been lucky enough to have you join us, and you're the third, you know, partner in this, you know, this boat and this idea. And I love it. You know, basically it was, you know, two long-range captains and a tuna scientist, all with a lot of both commercial and sport fishing backgrounds. And you guys went and bought what is like the perfect boat to go catch a bunch of big tuna and keep them very well, but in a small passenger load size, and basically found, I mean, what looks like a little mini version of a sport boat, you know, not that mini, but small enough that you very comfortably take a small load of passengers, but are able to take care of fish like you would from a long-range boat. I mean, a true RSW system and big decks, and you're not on a skiff. You're on a big boat that's made for a smaller group of people.
Well, I mean, it's a small boat, but it's a very big small boat.
Yes.
You know, and we... Yeah, it was... It was kind of a fun project converting it, you know. It was total conversion because it was doing something completely different when we got it. But it you know, the cool thing is it's got the capacity to be able to do that stuff. So anyway, we got it set up and it's working well.
That's just so cool. Got
back here a couple of days ago from a really good 4-person charter, which is. I was thinking originally we could maybe take 6 people, but you can, but to fish comfortably 4 people is ideal, and it works really, really well, and we can be very competitive doing that,
and
have a great time, you know. It's comfortable. We've got good shots at catching fish, and they're going to be in great shape when we get in. So it's been working out. It's been a good time.
The thing that I like so much about what you guys do is it's got that long-rangey sport boat, you know, style of fishing. An incredible amount of bait that you guys hold, the fish holds that you can keep the fish in, the big decks and big rails, and you know, it's. If you're wanting to do it from a, you know, most smaller operations, you're fishing in a skiff, you're fishing in a center console or a, you know, a smaller boat like that, and this has that big boat feel that we're all used to, but designed for fishing 4 guys.
Right. Yeah. No, that's the difference. Not as fast, though. I mean, the skiffs are nice because you can buzz up there real quick and you can be on the grounds in a couple hours. We can't do that. It takes us, you know, overnight to get out there for the most part. But once you're there, it's... I haven't done a whole lot of skiff fishing. I have to get honest. I really haven't. But and at times, it's awesome for sure. But when the weather comes up a little bit and stuff, it doesn't...
Well,
look all that great a lot of times.
Well, there's 3 partners that have a whole lot of background into this type of fishing, and the 3 of you set out to find the right boat. And I think the cool thing about it is you were never in any type of hurry, and you knew when you found the right boat that, like, okay, this is exactly what we're looking for.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, we didn't start completely from scratch. But that'll work. We can make that be really, really cool.
That's cool. Well, Danny, we're stoked to have you join us. You know, we know Marcus's background from all the great fishing on the New Loanne and all the times we've been having fun having Marcus in here. But stoked to have yourself and give us a little rundown of what your background is. Gerby and Marcus, sport boat side of stuff. You very much no stranger to fishing, but in a little different way. What's your background and how do you fit into the mold with these?
Yeah, so I grew up around the industry. I started working on boats when I was, you know, pinheading when I was 13, 14 years old and working as a deckhand as I got older on 6-pack boats and stuff. And then went to San Diego State University, got a degree, and ended up being very fortunate and ended up working at the Inter-American Tropical Tuna Commission for the last 25 years. And it was through that actual work, you know, doing tagging trips on the Royal Star where I met Marcus and Gerby both. And actually met Gerby when he recovered a couple of albacore archival tags way back when.
had a guy
on the boat that was that probably should have went and bought a lottery ticket immediately. He caught on back-to-back baits and caught 2 albacore.
Come on.
With
wow. No way.
Yep. Yep.
What are the odds?
Yeah, like not. Yeah, there aren't any. Yeah, that's crazy.
They're very small odds. Pretty remarkable.
Wow.
So that's actually when I met Gerby, and just through fishing and a general interest in that type of stuff, we all became good friends and had been talking about something like this for a lot of years, and the opportunity came along, and we all kind of jumped in both, feet first here.
It's really cool. It was fun to watch the transformation of you guys finding a cool commercial boat and then the conversion process, and like every boat project, we should have this thing wrapped up in 6 months, and, that usually means a year and 6 months, but it's because you guys do everything the right way, and it's really cool. I mean, I love it. Marcus does what Marcus always does. It's all right. It's about right. It's bitching. Like, it is really, really cool. You guys did an awesome job, and it's so unique looking. And every time it pulls up to the dock, it's been at Fisherman's Landing for whatever, a welding project sometime. And every time we look out the tackle store and the boat comes back, everybody's like, what is that thing? Like, it's really cool.
I think for Marcus, smashing fish is just such a natural thing that, like, it doesn't even, it doesn't even register when he's doing it on a different vessel.
That's pretty cool. Well, we're super excited to have you guys, and I think it's a really fun project. So now that the boat is up and operational, it is available for charter. Give us the kind of the rundown. Like, where does the boat depart from? How do you get on it? What are the lengths, the trips that you guys like to do? What's the, what's things like fishing on shearwater?
Well, we are running out of Point Loma Sport Fishing. We've got that low end there, so it makes for a nice short commute. Let's go check on things or whatever. But to book things, for the most part, we've got to set it up where you can do charters through our website, shearwatercharters.com. And then you can email us and figure out the details. We're fairly busy here the rest of the season. We've got a few charters, and we haven't really talked about it, but we are doing a fair amount of hook and line commercial fishing on that boat as well. Basically, same idea as sport fishing. We're doing rod and reel commercial fishing for some of the local markets here. So we have some time set aside for that, and we've got a few other charters coming up. So we don't have a ton of availability this year. We have a lot for next year, though, starting right at the end of March up through the spring. So there's a lot of days available then. But the first step is to go through the website and then go from there.
Well, I think it's so cool that when you book a charter, you're either going to have, a veteran, long range overnight or tuna scientist driving the boat behind you. So I think whoever's on the boat, you certainly got the right team. And I just think it's a really cool, and it's just something different. It's something a little bit different in the marketplace. And I think that you guys are going to see a lot of success with this boat. We really like it. And I think it was really cool.
Well, we hope so.
Yeah. No, that's certainly the idea. So give us a rundown. What's the fishing been like this year? I know you guys have had some very successful trips with shearwater. The new Lowland speaks for itself. It's been a different year this year with, it sure hasn't been a bad one, but, you get used to, inappropriately so, we all know that, you should never count on running full speed in March, but when it starts to happen multiple years in a row and then it doesn't happen, you start to look at your watch, and it was a little slower start, but then when things got going, it was great, and then there's been some ebb and flow. Like, what's kind of been the rundown of the season like for you guys this year?
Well, it was a slightly later start, I guess, but not much. I mean, I think by mid-April, there was a lot of limit-style bluefin fishing, I think. Maybe even the second week of April. I'd have to look in the logbook, but it was not very late. Maybe it was mid-April. Maybe it was 2 weeks later, but not much. Overall, the bluefin fishing has been... bluefin are... They're inconsistent by nature. Mm-hmm. They're always inconsistent. Even when there's a lot of them around. So, it's not like you ever just have straight limit-style bluefin fishing. That just doesn't happen just because they move and they don't bite a lot of times. However, that being said, there's been incredible amount of bluefin here in the Southern California Bight this year. More than I've seen in several years. Definitely more than there was last year. I think more than we had the year before.
Really?
And it's... When it's up and showing, it is unbelievable. We've had several days where as far as you can see, easily, you know, 3/4 mile on each side of the boat. It's just a solid breezer as far as you can see. And you drive through it for like 3 miles a lot of days. And it's, you got solid 15, 20 fathoms of fish under you the whole time. The sonar is just completely full, all sides. Just
crazy.
Crazy. You know, 3-4 miles long. I mean, it's just, it's really, really, really a lot of volume of fish when it shows. And it's been shown in several different areas. I mean, you know, there's been some incredible fishing up there by the Northern Channel Islands, up by Anacapa and Santa Cruz and along the coast up there. There's been good fishing happening here right on the coast, right, you know, right outside of North County, you know. I probably could have taken my kayak out from my house not too long ago and had a shot. I mean, there's been a lot of them. So the bluefin resource this year has been spectacular.
Right.
And, you know, bluefin are notoriously inconsistent, as I said. So there's been some stretches of just epic fishing, and there's been some stretches of really tough fishing.
Yeah, sure.
The different thing is there hasn't so far been a whole lot else available. There's been some decent yellowtail fishing to be had off and on at some of the islands, of course, and out at a couple of the banks. But it hasn't been super consistent. What we haven't had this year yet is a lot of good kelp patty fishing. Mm-hmm. That's been conspicuously absent. It's been very tough, you know. Most of the time when guys go looking for kelp patties and stuff, it's been, for a while, it was real hard to find a kelp. And then when they did find a kelp, for the most part, they were empty.
Okay.
But we had a different water regimen this year. We had a lot of cool water down along the coast here in Baja. And you could feel it in the air here. It was cool. And it definitely changed things around. My personal feeling is, you know, we've gotten so used to, for the last 10, 12 years or so, doing all of our fishing basically right on the beach, very, very close. When I first got the Lawin, I'd been working on the Royal Star and stuff. We spent an awful lot of our time fishing 80, 90, 100 miles off the coast. That was just normal. Out there by the 118, 119 line, that was pretty stock area. Not just for albacore, but for other things. We caught a lot of bluefin out there. We even did yellowfin fishing and stuff out there. It was a pretty common occurrence. It's been a very long time since anybody has caught much of anything out there to speak of. And I have a feeling, you know, now that no long-range boats can go to Guadalupe and stuff, they're really just... There hasn't been any coverage out there. My gut feeling is we missed out on fish out there. I think almost for sure that happened. We're starting to see a little bit of albacore that's trickling in here. I have a feeling that there probably was the possibility for, I don't know, I don't think you would have been smash-em style albacore fishing, but I think guys probably could have gone out there and caught some. Is my general feeling, and there probably was the option for some other fish out there too. Historically, back in the days we used to fish out there, we used to have, most years, there'd be a stretch where you'd have some really good kelp patty fishing on big yellows. It was pretty common. And bluefin we had out there sometimes too. So I think the water changed a lot, and, you know, we all knew where there was really, really good sign of bluefin fishing if you were there on the right day. Really good sign of bluefin if you were there on the right day. It was really good fishing. Mm-hmm. So it made no sense running a boat to go anywhere else. You know, one of the first rules of thumb that Westy told me years and years and years ago is, you know, you never leave fish to find fish. That's
the rule.
That's
rule number one.
And so we didn't. I do have a feeling, though, that there were fish to be found in this case out to the west.
Danny, this is what you do, and, you know, working for the Tuna Commission, and, you know, I mean, tuna fish is so broad, and I know that you guys cover everything. What's the feeling like, you know, for the world scientific community wise? Like, why was that fish tighter to the beach, and now it's not, albacore wise? You know, it's always so fun when, you know, fish get caught. Like, what's your feeling like? Because is the population still as strong as it always was, just above us now? Are there less of them? Are there more of them?
No, I think recent stock assessments indicate the North Pacific albacore stock's in relatively good shape. I think the whole driving factor for it is the oceanography, right?
Okay.
So the conditions haven't been right, so they haven't moved in close to the coast here. The albacore stock was and there's enough tagging data that supports it. It's like there's two North Pacific albacore stocks. There's a northern stock which comes in up there off Oregon, Washington.
Okay.
And there's a southern stock that's basically south of Cape Mendocino. And so whatever the oceanographic influence is that's driving that behavior is keeping them offshore here where we don't have access to them. You know, we hear stories every year, 300-600 miles offshore, the long line boats,
yeah.
that operate out of San Diego now are dragging jigs and having jig strikes, or they're getting into areas where they're catching, 100-150 albacore a night on long lines and stuff. So, I mean, there's clearly still fish around, but it's just not accessible to our local sport fishing fleets.
Okay. I didn't know that was a thing, that there was kind of two stocks of northern albacore, which certainly makes total sense. And if one doesn't come, a couple hundred miles for a fish that travels thousands and thousands of miles is, in the grand scheme of things, is nothing, but it's enough that it doesn't put them within our range whatsoever.
Well, exactly. I mean, if it's 150 miles offshore from San Diego, the probability of one of the local guys encountering it is pretty slim.
Yeah.
And I tend to agree with Marcus. I think even if you drove right now down southwest here 120, 130 miles, I wouldn't be surprised if a guy could jig up a little bit of albacore. There's a nice, strong, edge down there. It's, 63.5, 64 degrees. It bumps up to 68. But why would you go? Why would you drive down there when you have all of this beautiful bluefin in the bite to target?
Yeah,
it just doesn't make sense, right?
That's cool. Well, it's so much. There's such a vast area, and we're looking at a little piece of it, but our little piece of it is so full of fish that why would you go anywhere else?
Yeah,
I mean, it really is pretty amazing.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have a great show, Brandon. I know so much cool stuff to cover, and it's just unique that we get guys like this in here, especially this time of year. It's busy, obviously, both very very busy running trips and boats and taking time from the shearwater, and today's going to be a really good one.
I'm really looking forward to it. Both guys are so knowledgeable and have such unique perspectives about our fishery. I'm really pumped today.
Totally. Well, it's going to be a fun one. If you want to join us, man, we want to hear from you. Phone lines are already just about packed up, but we do have two open lines available if you want to get through right now, and that's 213-432-1090. Again, 213-432-1090. That's our phone number. Or you can send us a text. Now, the text the show option is only available through the Let's Talk Hookup app. If you don't have it already, you should totally get it. It's a free download. It's the easiest way to listen to Let's Talk Hookup. You can listen to all the past shows. If you wanted to catch a surf fishing tip from Bill Varney yesterday and you missed the show, you can listen on your drive home. It's a very easy way to listen to all the shows of Let's Talk Hookup, and Adam does such a great job putting all the shows up there, and it's the only way you can text into the show and send your questions in. Make sure when you do that, too, that you leave your contact information, because we're going to be giving away a great prize at the end of the show today, and if you're the big winner, we want to make sure to be able to get it to you, and that is a full-day trip fishing on board the Liberty at a Fisherman's Landing. One lucky caller or texter is going to get to go fishing with Taro and Anibal and the boys and have a great time, and those guys have seen some excellent fishing this year also. Again, a great opportunity. Full day trip on board the Liberty to one lucky caller or texter. Again, if you want to get through, it's 213-432-1090. When we come back, we're going to be taking your phone calls. Lots of Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. You stay tuned. You're listening to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Here's John Ireland for Rancho Leonero.
The ranch is unique. It's one of the few places in the world where you can still drive ATVs up the beach. We have fishing from the beach. We have dive trips that we run to Pomo in a number of different spots. Kayaking, of course, has been real big. We were one of the first hotels to introduce kayaking. The ranch is small, it's intimate. It's 34 rooms, so everyone gets to know everyone. The old saying, where everyone knows your name. Well, truly at Rancho Leonero, the employees do know pretty darn near all our guest names. And what's even more interesting is most of the guests know each other's names. Very personal, very intimate, and a special, special environment. 2 miles of beachfront, a mile on either side of the hotel. Rancho Leonero is really the last of the old-style Baja fishing resorts. 1-800-646-2252. 1-800-646-BAHA. And RanchoLeonero.com. I'll personally guarantee your best fishing experience and vacation at Rancho Leonero.
When you plan your next tuna trip, be sure to select the right boat. And in San Diego, that's the Tomahawk. The Tomahawk is captained and owned by 20-year veteran Dave Ibrahim. Dave is highly skilled and will put you on the fish. The newly refurbished Tomahawk is the perfect platform to target bluefin tuna. Large deck space, oversized galley, comfortable bunk room, tons of bait capacity, and a massive refrigerated fish hold are just some of the reasons why. So next time you plan your fishing adventure, plan to fish the Tomahawk at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. You'll be stoked you did.
Safe travel should always include travel insurance. This is Bob Dawson at Dawson & Associates. We offer many different plans, from one-year plans to single-trip plans. Traveling twice or more a year, an annual plan will cover most every trip that you make. Also, if you get injured on a trip, it'll fly you back home or fly you to a hospital of your choice, and it's worldwide coverage once you're 100 miles from home. So call me at 619-990-3068 or go to safariglobaltravel.com.
Hi, this is Dwayne Diego from Pinnacle Sport Fishing, and I love my Costa Del Mar sunglasses. You cannot beat the 580G lenses and the killer frames that they come with. The 580G lenses are by far the most clear and durable, scratch-resistant lenses I've ever used. And I'm far from easy on my equipment. We use it day in and day out, and having that scratch resistance that they have is a game changer for us. I rely on my Costa Del Mars every day. They take care of my eyes and help see what's out there. For more information, you can check out CostaSunglasses.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning. Again, taking your phone calls, 213-432-1090 is the way to do it, or send us a text. I know, Brandon, I saw you scoping texts out before, and it's amazing the amount of questions that are already coming through this morning. We're very fortunate to have you guys, and we're really stoked to do it. It's going to be a lot of fun. And
the texts are flowing in like a river. Yeah, we have two guys on the show this morning with such a unique perspective and so much to talk about, and a lot of good questions coming in. The text through app is so clean, you know, the way it all functions.
Cool. Well, why don't we do it? Why don't you read us off a text there? You got one started.
Okay, so I got one here that says, good morning, guys. I'm on a 3-day in November on the New Loanne. Can you talk about the boat and what you think we will be seeing this fall? And that's from Scott in El Segundo.
Well, the boat is, I don't know, 65-foot sport fishing boat here. Been around for a very long time. We have done a couple of real big major projects on it the last several years, where now we are able to do 3-day trips and do them properly, which we really couldn't do before. So that is the biggest thing. And it's the boat is set up really, really well for fishing. We hold a lot of bait. We got a lot of fish hold capacity, and we've got all the, you know, latest electronics and everything. So it's really good for that. The one lacking thing on the boat that is a little bit of a bummer for me is that our galley is small. But that is, other than that, the thing is awesome. And it drifts better than any boat I've worked on here in San Diego in the fleet. It is unbelievable. It's really, really cool and comfortable when you're drifting, which is awesome when you're tuna fishing. So that is...
You guys are so successful at those 3-day trips, and they've been so popular. What is it that you added to make it right? Like, what did you think was not right for doing 3 days in the previous, and then why do you do it so good now? Like, what were the things that you did to make it right?
Well, the biggest thing, we didn't have enough bait capacity or fish hold capacity before. And so we built a couple of big slammers there. We basically doubled our both our fish hold capacity and bait capacity. And we, you know, on the 3-day trips we take a fairly light passenger load. Mm-hmm. So we go with fairly light groups, 18 people, so it's very comfortable, and we've got plenty of room for everything. We can do it right now. So
those trips have become hugely popular. I'm with Brandon. I mean, we hear it in this tackle store all the time. I mean, that's the boat that people talk about, doing those trips. You and Adam do such a good job. Are there opportunities to go this season, or is it all next year?
No, I think we do have a few spots still available in November. I think October is pretty full, but in November there is some availability. And, you know, last year, our late season bluefin fishing was okay. It wasn't spectacular. A couple years ago, we had a couple years in a row where it was just
the best.
Off the hook. By far the best late season. And I'm pretty darn encouraged with the amount of big fish that's around this year, the volume. It to me, it's very reminiscent of the sign that we saw those summers. And so I'm hoping a lot of that stuff sticks around. And that time of year, I think a lot of the other bait and stuff starts disappearing. Yeah. And those things, sometimes they tend to really go on the bite. So I got my fingers crossed. I'm hoping we're going to have some really spectacular fishing that time of year. But, you know, a big part of it is going to depend on weather. As you start getting closer to sort of shoulder season or whatever, approaching winter, Mother Nature definitely can throw a little bit of a wrench in the works and make it a little challenging. But on the other hand, if we don't have a winter storm coming and we don't get a lot of northwest wind that time of year, if there's not a storm, typically the weather that time of year is really, really nice. So I got my fingers crossed. I think, to me, reading the tea leaves, I think the odds for success right now of really good bluefin fishing late in the year like that, November, I think the odds are good. But, you know, we're always playing the odds.
Yeah,
so who knows?
That. I think oftentimes October and November are two, you know, part of the season that is really overlooked with a lot of our customers and passengers. And some of the best fishing can be had during those times. And just the fact that the new Lowen has availability in November is kind of crazy to me, because we chatted a little bit about it before we went on air, but the new Lowen is one of those boats that's just known in our industry as one of the premier boats to be on, and I don't know that there's too many other boats that get as many compliments as the new Lowen.
For sure. You guys do it right, no doubt. What's the difference fishing shearwater versus that? You know what I mean? Like, you guys have had such good fishing, nighttime, jig fishing on the new land, big hits. What's the difference when you're doing it, you know, when you're taking four guys instead of taking 24 guys? Or you know, I mean, do you still nighttime fish when you guys are doing it? Do you solely target big ones with kite baits? Do you fly line like normal? Like, what's a trip like if you're comparing the two, doing a shearwater trip versus a traditional sport fishing boat trip?
It's a pretty big difference. It really is. It, with less people, it makes it easier to target more just big fish. Sure. I mean, even if we've got a fairly small group on a 3-day trip, you know, with 18 people, you want to try to make sure that everyone gets some sort of action. And a lot of the time, the best way to get big ones is with a kite. It's very hard to spread that out over, or balloons or whatever, topwater baits. It's hard to spread that out over that many people. Luckily, you know, when they bite at night, we can do it well. And that's why we've done so well on the new Lowen. A lot of the other guys have, too. It's not just us. But a lot of guys have had some really spectacular nighttime fishing on big fish, and it works great on a big sport boat doing that. Got a lot of advantages. You got, I think, having a lot of lures in the water on a big boat like that increases your odds of success. It, you know, once you've got one fish hooked, it's a lot easier to hook the second one.
Okay.
That being said, we've had pretty good luck nighttime fishing on the little boat as well, but it's harder. It is, for sure. But what is much easier is the daytime fishing for big ones, for sure.
Okay.
Small boat like that, we've got that flying bridge. You can, you know, you can do it more, not exactly like a skiff, but skiff style, where you can, you know, drop a rigged flyer or whatever off the kite right in front of a breezer or into a foamer or something, and you do that and you hook one right away, you know, most of the time, if they're in the mood at all. So and you can't do that on the big boat. It's just, so there's different techniques that you can do on the little boat that increase your odds of being more consistent big fish fishing. Like we had a charter here we just got back from the other day. We had four guys and we had, you know, a dozen fish, but they're all, what, 120 to 160 pounds.
That's awesome.
What a lifetime tournament.
You know, so it was good, you know.
What about gear? You know, Danny, I know it takes relatively specialized tackle to fly a kite and drop a flying fish into it. Is you know, do you guys have kite tackle on board the boat? Is that something we provide when we go on the charter? Do we need to bring our own stuff? Like, how does that big fish specialty gear work if we are doing a charter with you guys?
Yeah, so the boat's equipped with a full complement of tackle, you know, from, you know, 50 wide internationals to, you know, small, you know, bait casting type reels, you know, pen fathoms and stuff like that. Also, they're all set up on rain shadow rods, and you know, really, really nice, high quality. It's in really good shape. You know, we're constantly maintaining it.
That's
obviously
awesome.
And stuff. So, yeah, the boat's fully equipped to do all that type of fishing. If you wanted to just step on the boat, you know,
bring nothing, your own great, use yours great, whatever. Yeah. Tackle's not
yeah,
the issue.
No, we have good tackle, and that's yeah. We, like I said, we got the Thor Danny said we've got those rain shadow rods. We've got really nice pen reels to go with them.
And they're sure it doesn't hurt that you guys have worked through in the industry for your lifetime, so you have great partners to work with on the tackle end of things, too, to make sure that the gear you have is top-notch.
Right, no doubt.
That's awesome. Cool. Well, let's jump into the phones, Brandon.
All right, let's talk to John in Escondido. How you doing, John?
What's up, John?
Hey, I'm doing really well, guys. Good listening to the show so far. Brandon, it's great to have you back in the show. I told Rick the other day that he had a bunch of energy and it was fun with you and Corey there. They, you guys didn't miss a beat. I guess a couple of questions. Hey guys, so my question for you is when you're out fishing and you've got a real slow bite, is there anything special that you do? You know, they always tell us don't drop down in line size because you don't know what you're going to catch. But, you know, any way you hook the bait, it just might get you a better shot at a fish when things are slow.
Yeah, that's even tougher than the albacore question we threw at Danny. What are some of the tricks, guys? You've done it your whole lives. What can a guy do when it's tough?
If it's real hard to get a bite, I mean, yes, it is important to resist dropping down too much. You might have to drop down slightly, but make sure that you're still make sure that it's, you know, I mean, if you've got,
still needs to be appropriate.
It still needs to be appropriate. So that really depends on what size fish is around. You know, maybe you drop down from 130 pound to 80 pound or something, depending on what you're doing. But that's really depends on the present circumstances. So that's not a kind of a question that I could answer right off the get-go. One thing that does help a lot on a slow scratch bite is using the smallest beefy hook that you can get away with. It have a smaller hook size, especially if you're fly lining, definitely makes a big difference in how many bites you get. You see a lot of the real good fly line fishermen, when it starts getting challenging, that they fish surprisingly small hooks on heavy line. But it's got to be a real good quality, heavy wire.
It's got to be something
good. Mm-hmm. Something good, heavy wire, beefy.
How small are we talking? Like what is too small for say that are fish that are 120 pounds and below? Like how small would you comfortably be willing to go if it's the scenario that John's describing? It's scratchy, it's tough to get a bite. There's bites to be had. There's probably not much in the way of fish over 125 pounds. Like how small would you be willing to? What's the ideal size in your mind? Like this is what you want to hook them on, and then how small are you willing to go?
Once again, that's a tough question because all the sizes.
We're looking for tough answers here, buddy.
All the sizes of the hooks, every manufacturer are different.
Yeah.
So it's. I know them when I see them.
Yeah.
But.
Fair enough.
You know, you go. Like a.
Because
you can go down, you know, a 1.0 or a 2.0 heavy wire circle hook, or even, you know, some guys do really well. I personally don't like doing it because I'm always afraid of hooking them deep. They'll just use, you know, if it's real tough, they'll use a regular live bait style hook, like a
little J hook,
like a small heavy wire J hook, like a gorilla, and they'll go down really small sizes sometimes, and I'm always amazed at how they manage to pull it off. But, you know, that's a small subset of people that I've seen be successful at doing that. I would not recommend that. I would stick with a pretty small circle hook, you know, 1.0, 2.0 on, you know,
I think that's one thing most guys don't know, that oftentimes bluefin can be more hook shy than they are line shy, and scaling that hook size way down can get you more bites as long as you you keep the appropriate line size on. You still have a good shot of landing them.
Yes, no doubt, no doubt about it. And I think it is true. The hook size, I think, makes almost more difference than line size.
That's good. That's really good dope. And you're right. You know, the hook that everybody grew up fishing, a 20-94-150, the cheap box of Mustads, like that 20, you know, like an owner 20 looks like a gaff hook in comparison. And then, you know, some of the circle hooks are of that same size or a quarter of the size. So you're right that there's just, it's not fair to say, well, use a 20 and use a 2, because it just doesn't translate anymore.
These days, these manufacturers have caught wind of this, and, you know, and there's companies like Gamagatsu and Owner that make these tiny, tiny little circle hooks that still have a great, you know, wire to them. They're made out of a great metal, and they tend to land some bigger fish than you could ever imagine landing on such a tiny hook.
What? I remember here in long range fishing, Marcus, you did on the Royal Star, and Danny, you could speak to this maybe better than anybody, knowing the anatomy of the fish much. When do they get too big? Like, I've always heard about, like, oh, you can't fish a hook that small on a big one because the circle hook won't fit around the hinge of the jaw. Like, when does that start to happen? Like, when do those fish get too big to use a small hook like that?
I don't really think they do. Okay. Honestly, you know, I mean, it's just gonna bury in a different spot, okay, in the jaw. You know, I mean, the jaw comes down to a pretty small taper. I mean, yeah, it won't bury right in the corner, but it's still gonna catch right in the corner. You know, near the corner of the mm-hmm. mouth, around that bone. You know, generally, I'd say probably not less than like a 10 or a 20.
Okay.
Like, and there's no standardized size in a circle hook. You know, you can have a 10 that looks like a 90 and a 90 that looks like a 30. You know, it's there's no standardized size, so it's tough to say exactly. But, you know, generally for, you know, what most people would be fishing with a sardine, I don't think there's really all that much of an issue with it, to be honest.
One of the things that I like to think about is, I know how much sampling and observing you've done on long line trips and things like that, and, you know, we geek out on our tackle so much, and fluorocarbon and light wire and small hook and hooked right in the nose, and then you see long line tackle that's a 1,000-pound piece of mono and a giant hook with a dead bait, and, you know, and then there's your apex predator eating that.
I will say, as far as the small hook thing goes, Danny was saying it, for sure you can still catch those big ones on the little tiny hooks like that. However, that there's just no doubt about it. The smaller you go, the more you're going to lose. You're totally going to pull a lot of hooks. There's just more things that go wrong. You want to use the biggest one you can get away with, because the bigger it is, your odds of success just go up. It's just, you know, you're get too small. Now you're, you know, you got a 100-to-1 bet instead of a 2-to-1 bet.
Heavy line and big fish. Heavy line and big hooks allow you to make a lot of mistakes and still get to catch the fish.
Exactly. Everything has to go just right otherwise. So that's the other thing to keep in mind. Don't think that just because it can work, that it is the way you should do it all the time.
That is dead right for sure. Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. We're going to be checking in with catch reports. We got more of your phone calls and texts. You stay tuned. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way in the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
This is Pete, and I hear it all the time. That Jim and Mary at Poway Valley Collision are amazing. I took my car to Poway Valley Collision, mentioned Let's Talk Hookup, and they gave us VIP treatment, fixed our car, and even gave us a special price. Believe me when I say Poway Valley Collision is worth the drive from anywhere in the Southland. At some point, your car will need a body repair, and I'm confident in saying it pays to go to Poway Valley Collision. Our listeners can save hundreds of dollars on your next car or truck repair. They work with most insurance companies, including Auto Club, MetLife, Wawanisa, and more. All you do is call Jim, Mary, or any of their team members, and they do all the rest. No hassles, just top-notch work and VIP treatment. When you take your car or truck to Poway Valley Collision, the job and experience will be top-notch. Get it fixed right at Poway Valley Collision. 14211 Garden Road in Poway. Check PowayValleyCollision.com.
Let's talk candidly about long-range fishing. This is Captain Frank DePresti of the Royal Polaris and the Shogun. Nowhere on earth will you find a fleet of long-range boats like we have in San Diego. We are fortunate to have several top-notch operations to take you to the most productive fishing grounds in the world. We all offer good food, comfortable staterooms, huge bait capacity, and top-of-the-line fish-finding electronics. So why would you choose the Royal Polaris or the Shogun for your next long-range trip? What sets us apart from the rest? It's pretty simple. The boats, the crew, and the service. From the moment you arrive at Fisherman's Landing, the service begins. We help you load your gear and do everything possible to get beginners or seasoned veterans ready to catch fish. When it's time to fish, the Royal Polaris and the Shogun have the edge there too, delivering the two best fishing platforms in the fleet. But don't take my word for it. Come fishing with us. If you want the best, it's Royal Polaris and the Shogun. For more information, call 619-226-8030 or on the web at royalpolarissportfishing.com or shogunsportfishing.com.
Quality, the Islander out of Fisherman's Landing is a favorite among anglers. But Islander Charters is much more than great fishing. The quality of the captains and crew, as well as the great meals and service, speak for themselves. Comfortable staterooms, a super clean and well taken care of boat, are just a few of the reasons the Islander is so popular. The Islander specializes in 1.5 to 5 day fishing. Experience the Islander difference. Visit IslandersSportFishing.com.
Offshore fishing is on. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle, the saltwater tackle professionals. For bluefin tuna and yellowtail, nothing beats the Shimano Talica, the pinnacle of lever-drag two-speed reels. Shimano Speedmaster 2 is also an extremely durable, high-performance lever-drag reel for the more budget-minded angler. Both the Talica and Speedmaster 2 feature Shimano's Hagani body to prevent misalignment of moving parts under the heaviest of loads. For all your Shimano, visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning. As promised, it's time to find out what's biting out there. Today, our catch report is sponsored in part by Summit Gasoline. Hey, summer is here, and gas prices keep going up. So there's now more than ever you need Summit Gasoline at the San Diego Sports Arena. You can pull up to their brand new, newly expanded Summit Gasoline, get the lowest prices on gas and diesel for your car, truck, or your trailer boat. They can now accommodate 24 cars and trucks to fuel at the same time, and they have 12 diesel pumps, a great spot to fill up your boat. Summit gives Gasoline will give you 100 pounds of free ice with a 35-gallon fill-up. Go say hi to Martha and the friendly staff at Summit Gasoline. Free ice for all Let's Talk Hookup listeners and low prices. They're right at the San Diego Sports Arena. It is a no-doubter, super easy pull-through for your boat and trailer. Summit Gasoline. Hey, let's head on up to Dana Ward Sport Fishing. Talk to the man, Captain Ryan Woolley's on the line. What's up, Woolley?
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going this morning? Good info going on in there this morning.
Yeah,
sure.
Today's a fun one for sure. How are you, Willie?
We're doing good, man. A little foggy up here, a little hazy, but all good. You know, our water conditions this week were great. It's 72 to 73 degree water made, you know, good local half-day and three-quarter-day fishing for us up here. As you'd imagine with that warm water, you know, the bass action was really strong, plenty of opportunity with fish caught on the live bait. We have this week we had anchovy and sardine for our live bait, so that played into it real well. Rubber lures, hard baits, Alabama rigs, I mean, everything that went over the side was catching fish this week. A few halibut in the mix, too, for those guys soaking the baits on the, you know, down near the bottom on the reverse dropper loop or whatever. And that's a nice sheephead, too, for those guys with the shrimp and the clam. You know, one standout sheephead this week, Ricky, 26-pounder. Ooh, on the real fun. Oh, nice one.
That's a good
local lobster guys are stoked. That one's not in the mix anymore. That was a biggie. So some fun stuff like that. And with that warm water, you know, how about some Dorado on the anchor? Yesterday the real fun was in 50 feet of water there off the DMV there in San Clemente. Got flashed by a little school of Dorado. Hooked one, landed one, saw a bunch in the water. So
that's
kind
cool.
Of a good sign.
That's cool.
There. So yeah, just weird stuff, you know, going on like that. And then like 5 to 10 miles off the beach here for us, we're seeing more Dorado and yellowfin in our little zone here. It's not biting. The yellowfin's still doing the same thing. It's on its own bait. It's racing around. Hard to catch. And then that Dorado, same deal, you know. See them on the kelps. We stopped on one kelp a couple days ago, and you know, it was classic what it did last year. It was out off the kelp on its own bait, kind of disinterested on what we had to throw at it. But it's, gosh, it's a great sign. You know, this stuff's showing itself real well, and it's just a matter of time before it kind of eats through some of that bait that's out there, and you know, between that and the timing of possibly some more stuff getting pushed up and moving into our zone, I think it's setting up for some good stuff here, local offshore scene. And then, you know, we didn't get a whole lot of island coverage this week. The Freer's working through a few things on their end. They're back out tonight. But we do have both the Catalina today and Clemente both fishing up 5-5. So we'll see at the end of the day what they have to report back with us there. There has been some really good bass fishing at both islands. And hopefully we can get a little bit of that yellowtail that's been zipping around both islands there as well in their counts today, too. So that's it for us. Busy week still here. So you want to make your reservations, save yourself a spot on the boat. And this stuff that's not far from our harbor on that offshore stuff is getting close. You can feel it, and it looks good. We're seeing it. I think it's just a matter of, like I said, it kind of chewing through some of its own bait out there and wanting what we have to throw at it. So our number here, 949-496-5794. Of course, you can hit us at danawharf.com. Keep tabs on what we going on social media and whatnot. And we'll see you guys down there on the water.
Willie, a great report. Glad to hear it. And it looks like we've got a beautiful stretch of weather coming. I'm very much looking forward to hearing the next week's report. If you're already having dorado and 50 feet of water on the anchor while bass fishing, I'm anxious to hear what you guys are going to do with a great week of weather and some good fishing in front of us.
Roger. Yeah, we're looking forward to it. So hopefully, fingers crossed, we've got some cool stuff to check in with you next week.
Sounds good, Willie. Talk to you then. Appreciate it very much.
All right, guys. See ya.
All right. While we're waiting for our next catch reporter, our surf guru, Gundy Gunderson, to hit us on the line, had a great text come through. Good morning, guys. I saw that you carry pen reels on your boat, and I happen to be shopping for a new nighttime bluefin reel for heavy jigs. I'm between the International 16 and 20 or the Torque 60. Can you give me some input on which reels you guys like and why? Thanks for taking my question. That's from Alex in San Carlos.
I fish both the 16 and the 20 at night are sort of my go-to reels. I have not really fished the Torque 60 at night, so I don't have a lot of experience with that one. Mm-hmm. Rick might be a better person to ask. That 16, I love it for nighttime jig fishing. It's super comfortable. It's nice. I fish it with 100-pound Spectra. I use the Iserline color-coordinated. Every 100 feet, it makes it super easy. Caught a ton of fish doing that. And I just fish it to a straight. If I think I'm going to be doing any possible daytime jig fishing or whatever, I'll use 130-pound wind-on leader straight to my jig, or sometimes I'll, you know, if it's straight nighttime fishing, usually I do that a little bit on the bigger reel. Like on the 20, I'll usually rig it up with a 200-pound wind-on leader. The 16 is a little bit more my twitch rig. Maybe not quite as easy to get a bite, but I'm still hoping for big fish. Right. And, you know, I've landed fish. Reel. Yeah, and it's enough, but you hook a real big one on it, you feel slightly undergunned, but not bad. I've landed fish over 200 pounds on it, so certainly it's doable. I feel a little more comfortable when I hook a big one on the little bit bigger reel. Either one of those is a great choice. Like I said, the 16 is what I have rigged up for my sort of twitch rig, you know. It's a little bit harder to get a bite but if they're committing suicide, a little bit bigger one, 200 pound is really hard to beat, because then you get to that wind on, I just put the hammer down, just wind it right through the rod tip.
For the vast majority of anglers, the difference in those reels certainly would boil down to the handle. You know, the handle's a big factor from the International to the Torque. Having that large power handle on your 16 or a 20 makes it so much easier when you're attached to a large grade bluefin. But when you're talking these higher, you know, these high top of the pyramid pieces of tackle, you really can't go wrong. You know, you'd be very fortunate to have a Torque 60 in your arsenal. But when attached to, let's say, a 200-pounder, you know, it would be hard to beat that 20 size, International 20 size reel, Talica 25 size reel, that larger grade of reel. You'll certainly be much happier when pulling on it.
When the reel size goes up, it becomes physically easier for you to turn the handle.
Yeah. Bigger, there's no doubt about it.
Bigger gears, bigger shafts, bigger drag washers, bigger handle arm, bigger everything. Like, it's physically easier. Now, it's not as easy to fish, and a 16's great because it fits in your hands better, and it's lighter, and there's all those other things. But when you're attached, if you had everything the same, if you had the Marcus Rain Shadow Rail Rod Special on those two reels, and you were somehow able to make everything the same, it will be physically easier for you to turn the handle on the 20 than it will be on the 16. And the 20 is a unique reel in that you're getting the same reel as a 30 wide in a skinnier package. You know, the 16 to 20 are two completely different reels. The parts and pieces on the inside are different. The 20, the 30, and the 30 wide are all the same reels, just, you know, narrower, wider versions of one another.
And
right.
Because that 20 is the same reel as the 30 and the 30 wide, but it has a smaller surface area to rotate, you tend to feel like you get more torque out of it because you have just a smaller spool that you're rotating.
You're not fighting the torque of the reel wanting to walk back or forth. Like you said it best, Marcus. They're great. Those are great options, and it's not easy to choose between one or the other. But yeah, you're certainly looking in the right direction.
I've got both of them rigged up on the boat right now, and I use both of them.
Well, that's what I like. Get them both, and come on down, man. I'll sell them. No problem. Well, hey, let's jump while we're waiting for Gundy. Why don't we jump into the phone, Brandon?
How you doing, Rob in Oceanside?
What's up, Rob?
Hey guys, everything's going great. How are you guys doing?
Awesome. We're doing well, thanks.
Excellent.
Hey, listen, my question to the captains is about how the lure phase affects the fish bite and what it is that actually occurs when people are concerned about the lunar phase.
I think this should be a question for Danny.
Yeah, I said, let's everybody shut up and make Danny answer all the ones that nobody else wants.
This is something that we debate
at least
several times a year. And Danny's wrong. But I'll let him answer.
So when you go over years and years and years of catch history, moon phase means absolutely nothing.
Is that right?
Yeah, but you're averaging things, right? So year to year, moon phase means something, but it doesn't mean the same thing every year.
Okay.
Right? So
it doesn't mean the same thing.
It does not mean some years, you know, like the fish bite, you know, building up to the full moon. Sometimes they bite on the backside of the moon. It seems like when you end up with a pattern, right? You know, it starts off in a certain pattern. That pattern maintains throughout the entire fishing season. But that doesn't mean it's going to be the same pattern the following fishing season. And this is a debate we constantly have. I say it doesn't matter, but I'm looking at you know, decades of data versus this year. This year it matters. But when you average it out, the catch, you know, compared to moon phase means absolutely nothing. But what I would say is if you're trying to figure out when you want to go fishing, look at when fishing's been the best during what period of the moon, mm-hmm. you know, early in the season. And that will most likely maintain for the remainder of the season.
That sounds good to me. What's wrong about that, Marcus?
I don't know. No, I honestly think moon phase is one of the smaller variables when it comes to fishing success for us, for sure. It feels like it matters at times, but there are many, many other things that have a much greater impact. The weather, amount of bait around, water conditions, they've got a much, much bigger impact on what's actually happening. It does tend to feel like to me that we have more consistent success leading up to either the full moon or the new moon. But then again, I've had a lot of really spectacular fishing in the days right after the full moon. I mean, I go back and look, and it's like, you know, sometimes we'll just absolutely kill them. We'll look up and look, oh, it's 3 days after the full. That's weird. We caught a bunch of fish right after the full moon. But, you know, it's not one of the big things that really changes it. I think it's probably more psychological, probably, than really anything. And So really, I don't know. I feel better about fishing going into either the full moon or the new moon
When you say and going I'm, into it, you meaning
like the first like the couple leading days leading up to it, and you know, you see big changes on the ocean those days, you know, because there's big tidal variation then, and things, you know, you start seeing big tidal rifts and stuff develop during that time of the month, and so that might really be what's having the bigger effect on it. You know, things get sort of organized then, I think, and as it wanes, feels like to me like it becomes a little less predictable, but that is not totally true, I don't think. But I don't know. I mean, I think we're... I mean, the guys had really, really good fishing yesterday, and I think last night several of the guys did, and I think we're just after the moon now, aren't we?
Yeah, a couple days
so
past the new
there
moon.
You go.
I don't know that there's a more debatable question in our industry, other than maybe when did the albacore come up? Yeah.
My position is always that if I caught them good, it was because of my angling prowess and I'm that good at it. And if I miss, well, of course it was because of the moon. Yeah, nobody would have caught them on a 3/4 new moon. I mean, that's obvious. No one had a chance, you know. But if I caught them good, well, it was because I was so good. Yeah.
Yeah. The bottom line is don't let the moon dictate your fishing.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, that is the universal thing that you hear from everybody, and there's a lot of opinion on moon, good, bad, different, new moon, dark moon, full moon, whatever, but the one thing you hear from everybody is it is not the factor enough for you to book your trip. Go when you can go, and odds are you're going to get put onto some good fishing. Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way, including a big block of your phone calls and texts. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Are you passionate about fishing and the great outdoors, but not quite sure where to go? Look no further than Queen Charlotte Safaris in pristine British Columbia, Canada. Hello, this is Valerie Hopewrich. There's so many reasons to join us on your next fishing adventure. A few of the highlights of fishing in protected, calm waters. Very important. Quality Chinook salmon run all season long. After you've caught your salmon, we're going to go out for the great Pacific halibut, lean cod, rockfish, and Dungeness crab. Our beautiful lodge overlooks Shingle Bay and Sunset, and it's so easy to get to. Fly from almost any airport into Vancouver and then on to Sunset. Fish processing, your fishing license, your gear, all included. Just bring that fishing arm and that smile. Let our chef pamper you with amazing meals while our staff gives you wonderful hospitality, all included in your Queen Charlotte Safaris package. Give me a call on our toll-free number, 1-877-815-2892, or go to our website, qcsafaris.com.
There's nothing more peaceful than fishing. Just me, my pole, and some bait. Oh, and my life jacket, of course. I like fish, but I don't want to end up at the bottom of the water with them. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
In San Diego, the future belongs to everyone. So Ford engineered the truck of the future for everyone. The Ford F-150. Available with a Pro Power onboard generator. What a great addition for anglers. There's also a variety of cab configurations for whatever you need to haul. The truck of the future isn't created for just a few. It's created for us who love the ocean and the outdoor life. Ford F-150. Test drive one at your local San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
This is Captain Brandon Nelson from Lucky Bee Sport Fishing. Our dynamic fishery here on the West Coast is home to some of the most iconic game fish that swim the salty world. We demand tools designed to perform flawlessly and deliver the upper hand in any situation. That's why I use and recommend the all-new G. Loomis IMX Pro Offshore series of rods. It's a full lineup of purpose-built 20 to 80-pound class rods. I have been fortunate enough to be working with G. Loomis on the IMX Pro for some time to help develop the actions we need here on the West Coast. And they nailed it. The G. Loomis multi-taper design technology adds material where the blank is likely to fail and subtracts material where it won't. A sea guide train and Fuji reel seat complement a Batalon grip that offers extreme fatigue fighting comfort. They have been helping my passengers on Lucky Bee Sport Fishing land some amazing fish, and now they are ready for you. The new G. Loomis IMX Pro Offshore Rod Series at your local Shimano or G. Loomis
dealer. All of us at the American Angler family want to express appreciation to our regular passengers that fish with us year after year, and to the new anglers that came out this last season. We realize how precious your vacation time is, and we are truly grateful that you have chosen to spend this time with us. It's important that your experience is memorable, from the moment you call the office to the time you step off the boat. Hi, I'm Lori. Call me at the office, 619-223-5414, or check us out at AmericanAnglerSportFishing.com. Come fishing with the American Angler family and make a memory.
During Yamaha's Summer Sunset Sales event, get up to 5 years warranty coverage on a boat package with eligible new 30 to 300 horsepower outboards. Make that 6 years with the Siren 3 Pro package, or get up to 7 years on a boat package with eligible 425 horsepower outboards. Purchase an eligible 2.5 to 25 horsepower model and receive up to a $300 dealer credit. Visit your Yamaha dealer today.
Offer ends September 8th. Subject to change. Other restrictions and conditions apply. Select models exclude 24-month Yamaha extended service added to factory. Limited warranty. Choice offered to Florida residents is a 24-month limited warranty. See authorized participating Yamaha outboard dealers for details. Cannot be used with any other Yamaha offer.